Any material communicated on this podcast is for general informational purposes only and is not intended to be legal advice. Nothing herein should be considered to create an attorney-client relationship. Please consult an attorney for legal advice on your matter. Hello and welcome to Jaw Law. I'm your host, Joe McGregor from Dallas, Texas, and today we have a shocker. All right, today is somewhat of an emergency podcast. For those of you who do not know, and I suspect a lot of you have heard by now, the Federal Trade Commission has finally banned non-competes. For those of you who have listened to this show for a while, you'll remember that we did an episode about a year ago or so talking about how the Federal Trade Commission had proposed to ban non-competes for basically all employees in the United States. I believe that was proposed in March, and I could be misremembering that, but it was met with loud and immediate resistance. And they had originally planned to put this into effect about a year ago and have spent the last year ironing this out. But they have kept the promise that they want to ban non-competes. This is an instruction from President Biden, who wanted this all along. So they're doing what they want. Interestingly, still only won on a 3-2 vote, but it is now law. So what does it mean? I will mention that the final rule is 570 pages, maybe in 570 plus. So I haven't read it all. However, we've pulled just a few summary points that we think are going to be most relevant. And I may have to hop on another podcast and do some corrections, but this is what I think interpreting the final rule without having read the whole thing. So taking a little bit of a risk by hopping on, but I wanted to get this out there as quickly as possible so that people understood what's happening and what does it mean. First thing, I think it's important to point out, this was clear in the language in the original proposed rule and some of the literature, that I don't feel that this rule is really targeting something like dentists. They're really trying to help out a lot of the little guys who have an inability to find a new job because of their restrictive covenant. Specifically, industries like the food industry, a lot of tech, a lot of sales, things where if you don't work for that company, you are not working in this field ever, or at least nowhere nearby. And in dentistry, we certainly saw some pretty outrageous restrictive covenants. I know that there are certain employers out there who got really aggressive with this. But by and large, the idea was, hey, I just don't want you practicing next door. I don't want you practicing too close. I'm going to introduce you to my patients. You're going to build a personal relationship. We're both going to benefit. And when you leave, I just don't want it too easy for you to take all my patients. And that's how I would characterize the majority of restrictive covenants. I look at so many restrictive covenants, and yes, some of them are very aggressive. But and as we'll see in the rule, I don't think that that's really what they were targeting. They didn't unfurl this rule because dentists were being abused. Certainly some are, but that's not who they're really talking to. But nevertheless, everybody is caught up, every single person. Now, non-competes, and when we say non-competes, what we're saying is it's a form of restrictive covenant. It means between here and there, you will not practice. We know this as like 5-mile radius of the practice. You have to go past that in order to get another job, buy another practice, do whatever. So that's how we see it expressed in the dental field. Those, they're not legal anymore. So you could theoretically go right across the street and start practicing. Now, it does not eliminate things like non-solicitation provisions, doesn't invalidate confidentiality agreements, non-disclosure agreements, things like that. And that's how the Federal Trade Commission anticipates most practices being able to protect themselves. Hey, you still have non-solicitation provisions. And here's why I bring up maybe square peg, round hole with the dental industry in this rule, is that the non-solicit is still legal. However, it can't be so broad that that person can't do their job. And I think this is going to have some impact on specialists, at least some specialists who get referrals. Because if your main source of patient flow is a referral or 10 referrals or whatever, then how can the practice draft something that's going to protect themselves but also allow you as an associate to leave to another practice? That's going to get tricky, and I think we're going to have to see some further clarification in the proposed rules. This rule doesn't take effect until 120 days from now, but effectively, it's today. Today, thousands of dentists no longer have a restrictive covenant. So despite what it says about 120 days, it's effectively gone. I fielded a call this morning from somebody who got a letter, I understand yesterday, about violating the restrictive covenant. It was one of these hate mail thing, like, hey, you violated this, we're going to sue the pants off you. And today, she wakes up not having to worry about that. Now, they still have to deal with it, but the thrust of that letter, their legs have been cut out from under them. So it's going to be good news for some people, bad news for others. In this particular case, I think the former practice being pretty aggressive, so probably a good result. In fact, maybe using litigation as a threat. And this is why you see people voting positive on things like this, the FTC, because they know that employers who are usually more cash flow positive, they use this to protect themselves and sometimes to maybe do it in an over-aggressive manner. And so here we are. What's interesting, and I think what's going to come up for a little while, is that there is an exemption for people who make over 150. I think it's like 151 and some change. If you make more than that, the restrictive covenant doesn't apply, but there's two caveats. Number one, it has to be an existing contract. So that doesn't mean that if you hire an associate in November of this year, that you can put it in there, because it won't be legal. It's only if it's already currently existing. Now, before all you practice owners breathe a sigh of relief, the problem with it is that they have to be making more than that threshold, and they have to be making policy decisions. And in a dental practice, the question is, what are policy decisions? I think most employees are going to say, no, I don't. I don't make any policy decisions. I don't fire people. I don't hire people. I don't order the equipment. And I think that's fair. On the flip side, most practices, the intent is to give the associate the latitude to treat patients the way they want. So employers are probably going to have an argument that, yeah, they are in charge. They might not be in charge of all policy decisions, but they have some latitude to be leaders in this practice. And we'll see where that goes. And that's just something that we're probably going to see unfold as these like lawsuits and stuff, and we'll talk about lawsuits in a second, as this stuff progresses. Now, one huge exemption is that this does not apply in the context of a business sale. So if you're going to sell your practice, yes, you still are going to have to agree to a non-compete. And that's basically left unchanged. So it's not like that's going to be under more scrutiny or anything like that. That appears to be completely carved out. And this does apply to shares being sold. And there used to be a 25% threshold in the original rule, but it looks like that got eliminated. So if you have an associate and they have 5% of the business, and then you terminate them, and they had a non-compete that became active upon sale, well, it looks like that can still prohibit them from practicing within a certain area. Now, finally, I want to point out that this is the rule today. As you can imagine, there are millions of businesses that are freaking out right now because they will consider their future in jeopardy. And it's also important to point out that this is actually a desired effect from the Biden administration and the FTC. This was specifically pointed out that they expect like 2 million more businesses to open up because of this. Well, in dentistry, what that means is that there's a potential that this unlocks a lot of associates to go out and form their own practices or do something like buy their own practices nearby. And yes, that is going to wreak havoc. But before you get too far down in this path, whether you're worried or excited, you need to know that because so many people are going to be harmed, this is an automatic lawsuit. We don't know what's really going to happen. We know that this finally became a law, and that's important. And when things become laws, they have a tendency to stick. That being said, I will acknowledge that there's a strong argument that the FTC doesn't actually have the authority to make this kind of decision. And I talked about that in my previous podcast, but it is going to get litigated probably by the Supreme Court, or go up to the Supreme Court. So I hesitate. I think this is extremely important for everyone, associates and practice owners. But at the same time, there's going to be more. This is not the last of it. Yesterday wasn't the final action that's going to happen. There will be more. And we're going to wait and see what happens. Now, I expect to come on and do another podcast like this so that after we've had time to dig our hands into the full law. But I don't think we're going to hear too much more. I think this is where we're at. So if you have questions, my cell, 972-975-2215, my email, jmcgregor@mcgregorfirm.com. Would love to hear from you in here if you have any questions. Certainly, if you've enjoyed this podcast or have found it helpful and you want to pass it along, we are very honored when you do that. And if you have a moment, please rate and review the podcast so that more people can find it. Thank you, and we will see you next time.